Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and continuing with our ongoing theme of indie horror films, I'd like to welcome filmmakers Holden Andrews and Victor Matthew to the show. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, these gentlemen are part of a three-man team that has brought us a new feature called Dead List, which is a bit of an anthology, but more of a, I'd say, a cautionary tale of sorts. Holden, why don't you tell us what Dead List is about?
Sure. So the three of us are true horror fans. And when we got together to make this anthology film, we wanted to make a new take on it, right? We wanted to take the anthology genre and put a twist on it. So we created a story that has different chapters, but each chapter tells the overarching narrative of a singular story. And all of us live in LA. So the inspiration for the film came from the fact that we live here, that we all work in the film industry. And we wanted to tell the story about the seedy underbelly of Hollywood. And we framed Dead List around that. And we used actors as the propulsion of the story. And it's basically about a bunch of actors who are all trying to get that breakout role so that they can have the next step in their career. And it's what they'll do at all costs in order to make sure that they succeed over anyone else.
Now, you two and Ivan Aysen co-wrote this. You all came up with this idea. You wrote it together. You split up the directing duties. What was the driving force of the theme? And I'm going to get right to it. What made you choose Scorsese as the brass ring?
So the reason we banded together is we knew that if we partnered together, it was the best way that we could make this film, especially it being an anthology. Ivan and I have worked together while at Digital Domain. Victor and I met each other at USC while we were studying film under the Cinematic Arts program. So we all have a close connection, and we just knew that we'd make a perfect partnership to make this type of film. And to answer your question about Martin Scorsese, it's just a nice little nod. You know, he's one of our favorite filmmakers, and we needed a pivotal kind of director that all these actors would, like, you know, basically, you know, slit each other's throats to be in one of his films, right? So it was a nod to him as a director and setting him up, that director, as someone, you know, they're so important that an up-and-coming actor would do anything possible to get into a film directed by Martin Scorsese.
Victor? Well, what were your thoughts of how to structure the story? Because it's like all three of you co-wrote this, and to let our listeners know, there's one main character, Cal, who's being followed as he journeys through the repeated auditions and making a fool out of himself or not during these auditions, and the other characters who are involved in the same audition, even a surprise addition to it, just the how everyone is a friend, but they're also trying not to be friends because they're competing with each other for the same roles over and over and over again. How, as a co-writer, how did you help blend those together?
So I jumped in after Holden and Ivan had kind of already, let's say, pre-developed some part of the concept and part of the script, actually. So they had, like, I'd say at least half of the main storyline kind of already written. And so when I came in, it was more about kind of coming up with some of the concepts for some of these other side stories, right? So some of the sequences that are some of the anthology characters and stories that haven't been written yet. And so that was what I was also excited about, is the fact that I could kind of come on board. Well, first of all, working with one of my closest friends, Holden, but second of all, kind of create the characters and stories that I want to tell, and introduce the monsters that I've everyone to, you know, play with for a while. And so I think that that was part of the process. Was kind of, and what was interesting was coming up with characters and finding a way to weave them into that main storyline in a way that makes sense and also propels that main storyline in a way that will be interesting and comes to a nice conclusion in the end. So that's, I think, was both a challenge but also exciting at the same time.
It was fun watching how different each of these guys were, even though they're usually reading for the same parts. You get the feeling that they keep running to each other in different acting auditions too many times, but yet they interact with each other outside of the cattle call scenarios. And just seeing how different they are was fun, because they all had their own little quirks, their own little flaws, and in particular, their own very unique deaths.
Right.
Who came up with, shall we say, the unique prospect for each character's demise? Was it tied to who they were as a person, or just random bad crap's going to happen to you now?
So it's, since we're filmmakers, you know, from the get-go, right, we knew that we had to like interweave meaning into the death. It couldn't just be meaningless, right? Even though that's fun to watch, we wanted there to be substance. So each death has a correlation to character traits of the character that is ultimately meeting their demise in the chapter. So whether or not it's something about, you know, the personality or what they've done in their past, or, you know, anything that they've done that has kind of been morally questionable, it ties into what monster meets them and ends up killing them. So it's definitely interwoven into who they are as a character, for sure.
I have to say, okay, who was responsible for shooting Scott's death? The very self-centered, narcissistic, pretty boy.
Yeah, Ivan, yeah.
Oh, no. I wanted to find out more about that, because the use of sound, intermixing the sound and lack of sound, and the, shall we say, spatial infinite loop was very, very intriguing and creepy. And golf clap to Ivan then.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's great. So Ivan has always been a huge fan of the Twilight Zone series, the television series. So that chapter itself is kind of rooted as an homage with a nostalgia feel to kind of what would happen in a Twilight Zone type episode. And, you know, when we were developing it, he knew that he wanted to play with sound. He wanted to have the character lose his ability to hear. But, you know, we had to figure out how were we going to be able to give sound to the audience, but not give sound to the character. So we had to play with creative ways to do that. So you can see, like, when he's trying to figure out himself, like, am I deaf? Like, what's going on? He's like touching things, but, you know, he can't hear anything, but we as the audience can. But then he hears the phone, and then we wanted to build in on that, right? So Ivan's like, you know, I want ultimately his world to come closer and closer and closer in on itself, which ultimately leads to him killing himself. And we did a lot of really cool in-camera tricks that sold a lot of, you know, the looping, and we had a lot of fun with that. That was a fun chapter of the shoot, absolutely. And definitely hats off to Ivan. That's one of my favorite chapters for sure.
Yeah, that one really stood out, and as it, not only just as an exercise in sound, but the cinematography, the way the camera viewpoint shifted from him back to the room, back to him, was really, really cool. And so hats off to your sound and Foley team also.
Yeah, well, Victor had played a big part in sound on this film. And I remember we sat together and worked on it for so long, but Victor has a lot of history and roots in sound, and specifically sound design. So that was a fun piece to work on, and I know that Victor probably had a lot of fun working on it too.
Yeah.
So, Victor, what went into creating some of those sound effects, or lack thereof?
I mean, I think it's just about for that segment itself. It's more about just understanding. Like we talked about, me, Ivan, and Holden, just what is the most important here to convey, and what we really wanted to convey. And clearly was just the fact that anything that he's touching cannot emit sounds, but anything that he's not touching physically can emit sound, right? And so that was the top priority, is how to communicate that and convey that clearly and as clearly as possible as soon as he walks back into the house from the outside, right? And so that was the first challenge. And then after that, then this, you know, I think accompanying, you know, like some of the movements from him looping around the circle, et cetera, just kind of accompanying that with some sound effects and some bass hits and things like that, some heaviness and just all kinds of, it's just a snippet of where his world is coming down and pushing in on itself, like Holden was saying. And so the sounds need to be the same. It just needs to be chaotic. And, you know, is it in his brain or is it really happening? And so it's just kind of a chaotic accumulation of sounds, sound after sound. And so that was kind of the approach there. It was just kind of improvising and seeing what works and what doesn't. And it was fun.
Mm. Well, I appreciate the variety in style in which some of these characters died. I think Xander died in the course of fear of the other. Kush, the stoner, had a very horrific body horror death. Thank you for one of the most gross scenes I have ever seen. and I hate all of you for the clowns. I really do. Just no on clowns. Clowns.
I love clowns.
No.
You're welcome.
When movies are R rated, they should add clown as one of the things that is being rated R for. You have violence, you have language, you have drug use, and you have clown.
Yeah, a rating C for clown. Absolutely. Absolutely. We had so much fun filming the clown. Oh my goodness. Like, I can't say that I like one chapter over the other, like, as my most favorite chapter. I like them all equally for their own bits. And we had just, oh my goodness, like, figuring out how to do some of the practical effects with the clown, and, you know, to have it kind of gestate behind the character when he's watching the news report. We had such a cool time doing that, and all the tricks that we did. And I remember us figuring out, like, okay, like, what's going to be a really cool way that we can physically show the clown killing somebody? And it's like, we had never seen something with balloon animals, right? And we're like, why don't we do something really cool where it's, you know, we do that and that's like a voodoo doll and he can make a balloon human and then make you, like, once he does that, he can do anything he wants to you. And we're like, oh, we had such a great time filming that stuff. It's definitely horrifying when you watch it, but man, we were laughing and having such a great time while we were shooting it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I remember being super stressed out filming that segment, because I'm the director of that segment, and it was just, we had two nights to film it, and some of the other segments were one night, but the two segments that I directed are the two longest ones, and jam-packed so many shots into these two nights. It was very complicated, and as you can tell in the clown segment, there's a lot going on. And so yeah, for me, it's always a timing thing. It's just, you know, how did I get all my shots and my stories? And you know what? Actually, I'll be honest, the clown segment ended up losing a pretty big scene with the clown. So originally, you know, Bob, our character Bob, was going to get captured by the clown and woke up, and this whole thing was going to happen. It was a confrontation one-on-one with the clown before he actually escaped. And so so that didn't happen because we lost the amount of time that I was hoping we would have, because the practical effects of the clown coming to life took so long. So it was actually a pretty stressful night, but enjoyable nevertheless, for sure. There was no, you know, it was all very positive. Just didn't get the time that I wanted to make it the full, complete segment that I wanted it to be. But as for the clown himself, I think he ended up being quite scary. And I think that the main thing about that segment that's the best part is not even the clown, but the character himself. I think that the whole backstory behind him, if you listen closely throughout the full film, is very interesting and very bizarre. And I think that episode takes it to a whole new bizarre level. And the actor did a great job portraying him.
Yeah, the actor who played Bob was very entertaining to watch, because you see him having fun, you see him getting high, and then you see him going into his little, you know, paranoid fun world, and then he goes into paranoid what-the-hell world. But yeah, Bob's performance, the actor who played Bob, really, really sold it. And his fear, his playfulness to his fear, to his complete freaked outness, was just a delightful bit of acting. was the playing with the makeup his idea or yours?
That was my idea, and that was something that I wrote in the script right away, of just this idea that he was just looking himself in the mirror and questioning who he is as a person, and because his wife wants him to be a clown, just I love the idea of him applying makeup on and just going to look crazy and just be absolutely hilarious. So the other thing too, I think that that you'll notice out of the portions and segments and everything that I directed is for Deadlift, I definitely went a little Evil Dead in terms of my style. I've always been a huge fan of Evil Dead. So you'll find some kind of like elements in terms of camera work, in terms of some of the acting as well, that is inspired from the unique acting style of Evil Dead 2. I think that Evil Dead 2 always had that perfect balance of horror and comedy. And so and the camera work and the acting was always just kind of very fascinating to me. And so whether it's, Josh Eichenbaum, who plays Bob, acting and you know, almost slapstick kind of performance in a way, to some of the camera work and the witch segments, or the flying book that's laughing, those are all kind of like, you know, I'd say inspired by my passion for that specific style that was emulated in Evil Dead.
Yeah, I love what Josh brought to the table. He was such a talented actor, and I remember when Victor was casting him, Josh was kind of like on the fence because he doesn't really do horror films. It's not his cup of tea. And like, you know, he picks and chooses his projects, you know, rightfully so. He's that talented enough of an actor. And I remember having a phone call with him where it's like, listen, man, Josh, you are the perfect guy for this character. Like, if you don't do it, that's going to just be doing a disservice to the character, Bob. And he was like, you know, he really wanted a collaborative environment where he could bring what he thought the character was to the table. And, you know, that's the way that Victor, Ivan, and I work, absolutely. And he ended up signing on to the project, and, you know, we couldn't be happier with what he brought to the table with his interpretation of Bob. It was just phenomenal.
Funny story, though. When I called him and offered him the role and I sent him the script, he was like, man, I really love it. I think it's hilarious. But one thing, what's up with you can this thing, you can be who you want to be? What is up with that? Which is, you know, in front of the mirror that where he's applying makeup. He just didn't get that. So he's like, what is up with that? And so it took some talking him into understanding what that was all about for him to get it, because at first he was very confused, as you know, as his character is as well. You know, so.
Well, yeah, well, they ended up killing it.
Yeah. But it was still what is left in the film is very, very entertaining, and the film overall is creepy enough. It has a little touch of humor here, a lot of thriller aspects, and some very, very entertaining demises. Let's put it that way. This is slated to be released on May 1st. Is that the right date?
That is. May 1st will be video on demand, so any video on demand cable provider, it will also be on Amazon and iTunes.
Cool. Are there any plans to put together a physical disc release, maybe with some extras, some cutscenes, some creator commentary?
So we're in talks right now. We're pretty certain that there will be a physical release. And I think I have the dates here. On May 1st, we do the video on demand release. And then, is it June? Yes. So June 5th, right now, we're slated for DVD release. So in just a few months from now, you can get a physical copy of it.
Any plans for extras? Because those always entice me.
Oh, yeah, the extra scenes? That's a good question. So that is in the balls in the court of our distribution company, High Octane Pictures, and how they want to package it. So whatever they end up deciding is what we'll go with. So if they think that extras will help bring people to grab the DVD, then that's what we'll do, absolutely. Because I'm with you. I love one of the reasons why I buy a DVD or a Blu-ray is for the extras, right? Because you get that cool stuff and you get little tidbits where you're really intrigued as to, you know, what happened in the background. And I love that type of stuff.
Yeah, I love hearing the creator commentary, to hear them go through step by step what they did with the, what was the idea behind making a certain film. And sometimes that can actually raise up the enjoyment value of a movie without even realizing it. You're hearing the process of what went into making a scene or making a sequence or developing a character. And to me, that's fun.
I bet if you got myself, Ivan, and Victor into a room and we did a commentary on the film, it would be the best ever. It would be hilarious. We have so many stories from this movie. It would be fun for just us to sit down and reminisce while watching it, you know? So I can't imagine someone watching us talking about it. It would be hilarious. It would be great.
Well, if it would help, I could send an email to Hayek Teen Pictures and say, you got to get these three guys in a room with a bottle of vodka and just let them go.
Oh, do it. Send that email. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. So what are you guys working on next? Anything together or separately?
So Victor and I worked on a project together. Yeah, sure. Victor and I did a project together after Deadlist called Scary Nights. And that is an episodic, it's basically a television show. It's we did, what, 6 episodes, Victor? And we shot it all in VR. Yeah, we did 6 episodes, all in VR, so 360 VR, and it's basically Tales from the Crypt meets Goosebumps. It's a really fun, you know, scary but still not R-rated experience that anyone could watch. And, you know, we put a lot of love and effort and time into making these really cool stories. And, you know, the character that we built to intro and outro each of the episodes, kind of like Tales from the Crypt, is really cool. And you know, it's fun because we've never seen anything like what we did in the VR 360 space, so I would definitely keep an eye out for that. That'll probably be out later this year. And then in terms of Deadlist, after we wrapped, when we put Deadlist in the can, we were already talking about a sequel. So we have a couple ideas about what we'd want to do with the sequel, and you know, pending the success of the release, we're going to kind of just go right into it because, you know, why not? We had so much fun on this one and we worked so well together as a team that there's no point of not doing it, especially if people are fans of the movies. And we think that the ideas that we've already started talking about would be a lot of fun to explore in the sequel. And the last thing for me is Ivan and I, we wrote another film together and it's called Cat House. And it's basically, what it's really going to do is it's going to give From Dusk Till Dawn a run for its money. It's a really kind of like fun, like road trip adventure film with college kids. And they end up at a bordello. And I don't want to give any spoilers, but trouble ensues. It's a lot of horror. It's a lot of comedy. It'd be like a really fun popcorn movie. And we're currently shopping that right now. And I know Victor's got a bunch of stuff in the pipeline, too.
Yeah, so I recently wrote a couple months back a TV show for a Tunisian director, one of the most famous directors in the Middle East. And so he's doing his first project here in America, and so it's a TV show. We're shooting the full first season, 8 episodes that I wrote, and so that's almost finished filming. Matter of fact, I'm going to head to set in 2 hours, and Holden's going to be there as well to help me with some stuff. And I also am currently in development on a project that's really, really special to me. And it's about, it would take place in Mexico. And it's based on the legend of La Llorona. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that legend, but it's a very famous, scary kind of legend for children, but that adults also actually believe in Mexico, and people are really afraid of La Llorona. And it dates back all the way down to the conquistador era over there. So I'm developing that right now. And I'm attached to, I think, 3 feature films. that are in development as well, one of which should start shooting later this year. So a lot of things, and including Scary Nights, like Holden mentioned, that I produced and directed and wrote. And yeah, quite a few things, a lot of things. Very busy.
Cool, cool. Where are the best places for people to find you guys online?
So obviously IMDb, you can find Victor, Ivan, and I on the Internet Movie Database. And, if you want to find us on Instagram, I think we're all pretty active, Victor and I, on Instagram.
You can also find another project of mine that I've done in the past called the Monster Project online.
Oh, yeah.
If you go online. So
cool.
I don't know if you've heard of the Monster Project, but you can find that online on iTunes, et cetera, and Amazon as well. But yeah, IMDb and Google and any articles, et cetera. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I will dig up a couple of links to send people your way, and definitely keep me in mind when you guys are ready to start promoting the Scary Nights project and La Llorona, because those sound right up my alley of interest.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Will do.
Definitely.
Okay, Holden Andrews, Victor Matthew, thank you for your time today. The movie is Dead List, and it will be available on video on demand on all of your favorite digital platforms. We'll have links to that, and definitely keep an eye out for the Blu-ray DVD in June. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you. Thank you
so much.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
One week away from Avengers Infinity War. Looking forward to seeing that movie along with everybody else. But we also have con season coming up. Looks like there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up in New York, Philadelphia. If anyone is in those areas going to some of these events that I can't get to, let me know. We can use the coverage, help promote some local peeps, especially in Philadelphia and New York and Baltimore. And should probably look at Northern Virginia, too. I didn't do any peeking at upcoming schedules in May for that. But we're on the way. I can't believe it's almost May. But that's a good thing, because this movie that we talked about in this episode, Dead List, will be coming out May 1st. It's fun. It really is fun in a... Just because of that body horror segment, I don't know if you'd want to eat popcorn, but it's the very creative use of gruesome death throes in that movie. You should check it out yourself. The movie is Dead List. We'll have links in the show notes for you to follow. Holden is on Twitter. We'll say hi to him. The other guys aren't on Twitter, but they're on Instagram. So I'll check those out, or have links for you to check out. Already said, the Black Lightning was renewed for season 2. Still waiting on word for Superstition on Sci-Fi Channel. No word yet. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I really want that show to continue. I'm kind of curious what they're going to do. Superstition will be available on Netflix on April 29th. That news went out this week. So if you didn't catch it on Sci-Fi Channel and you have Netflix, definitely keep an eye on it. Put it on your watch list and check it out. I think the show will flow better without commercials. I'm looking forward to checking that out myself. And yes, I will be watching it again. Because Mario Van Peebles' character is just so damn smooth and ruthless. That show needs to continue just to get more of him and Brad James on the air. Just saying. Anyway, I will keep up my searches, my seeking out entertaining indie horror and indie sci-fi, along with the mainstream fare that comes our way. And as soon as I find something fun, I'll let you know. But if you have any questions or comments about anything we've spoken about here on the show, feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. I'm hoping to get a report from our Zedtown winner. There was a zombie event in Chandler, Arizona this weekend. The zombies and the zombie hunters were volunteers, and we gave away some tickets to that. Hoping to hear a report back on how that went. I'm not sure if Chandler's used to seeing zombies, so I'm kind of curious myself. But like I said, call in any questions. The number is 602-635-6976, or send an email to summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and Krypton Radio. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Every bit of feedback we get helps, so let people know that you're enjoying the show. Maybe they should check it out for themselves. You can check us out on Twitter. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. You can check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Our YouTube channel is entertaining. We're Slice of Sci-Fi on both locations, and you can always come to the website, sliceofsci-fi.com. And don't forget, we've got some fun stuff over at writersafterdark.com, along with a new podcast coming your way really soon now. In fact, it'll be like magic when it shows up. I'd like to send out my thanks to everyone who's been supporting the show through Patreon. Your pledges and donations really help keep things going around here, and I do mean that sincerely. If you want to contribute, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi, or if you want to do a one-time donation instead of a monthly pledge, you can follow the paypal.me links we have right here on the website in the show notes. Thank you so much for everyone who is supporting what we do here. I'd also like to send a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci Fried, for the music that adorns this show. I really would not be able to have that feel, that rock and roll feel, without them. So thank you guys. I love you much. And if you want to check out any more of their musical endeavors, you can go over to their website, sci-fried.com, or search for Sci Fried on YouTube. They have some wonderful videos that you can check out over there. I highly recommend Zombie Prison Blues. It's a Johnny Cash parody. Very entertaining. Seriously, since we're talking zombies, go for it. But that will do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.